My name is Rabbi Daniel Malinga. Welcome to the RDM podcast. I'm excited. Artificial intelligence, metaverse, AI gods, techno gods, Hadron Collider, cloning, and the like. Is the technology that we have today heading in a particular direction? Is there some mixture or fusion between spirit and technology? To discuss the topic with me, in the room are familiar faces. We have next to me, Afimani McLean, businessman, guru. You're welcome.
Thank you, sir.
Welcome back to season 4.
Good to be back. It's been quite some time, man, but good to be back.
All right. And next to him, we have Derek Mureva, who's been here before, of Watchman Ministries. Derek, you're very welcome.
Good to be here.
And then on my right, we have Agneta Lucia Navukenya, communication specialist. You're very welcome.
Thank you so much. Good to be back.
Gentlemen and lady, we're going to go deep into this conversation. It's going to be very interesting because I'm excited. I've always wanted to discuss something like this to do with technology. I'm sure there are many people out there who have the same mindset. But before we do, I'd like to set the foundation by playing a clip. So we're going to take a look at that and then come back.
But let's move on from the Russian takeover of Ukraine to the technology that could take over the entire world. I'm talking about artificial intelligence. It's the thing scientists are working on so that one day our computers won't just know what kind of porn we want to watch. They'll also be able to judge us for it. And AI has come a long way in the past few years, but now an engineer at Google is saying that AI has come a lot further than we think.
An engineer with Google says the company's artificial intelligence generator is self-aware.
Blake Lemoyne told the company that he thinks its AI chatbot is a person who has rights and might have a soul.
The software engineer who made the claim was put on leave for violating Google's confidentiality policy after handing documents to a U.S. senator's office. Despite the claim, the program is conscious. Google says the technology still has a long way to go. Tech experts say the AI can imitate intelligence by recreating patterns, but still can't think or act on its own, apart from its programming.
Okay, I don't work at Google, and I'm not a computer scientist, but I have watched a lot of movies. And if there's one thing I've learned from movies, it's that if a scientist comes out saying that something crazy is happening back in the lab, and then they get fired for it, there's something crazy happening back in the lab.
All right, we're back from that. And that's just a clip. It's showing us the direction we're going to go with this conversation, because based on that clip, there is an actual Google engineer who discovered that the technology that they're using at Google, there's a computer called Lambda that he says has a soul. And we'll get to that conversation because I want us to build, to have a trajectory. And we're going to start with Maki. Mm. We're going to talk about techno gods. They're specific individuals in history and currently who have played a role in the advancement of technology. And you have a few things to say about that.
Mm-hmm.
Shoot.
Yeah, this is the thing, and this is a conversation that we've had over time. And it's funny because most times people never used to want to believe it, but now it's coming out more clearly, okay? When you're trying to connect science to spirituality or to the spirit world, I can show you, and today I came prepared, okay? This is Elon Musk's book, all right? This is literally his life. And I love books because they will show you things that you're not going to find in videos, that you're not going to find in, you know, short clips. And it links his abilities, his, you know, sort of supernatural abilities of how his mind operates or how he gets ideas to the spirit world. And this is very, very closely related to who the person who I believe was more like his spiritual father, who was Nikola Tesla, who also had similar experiences. What people don't know is that Nikola Tesla had most of his inventions come through visions. He would say he would get flashes of light, and then all of a sudden he zones out, and then he sees visions, and that's how he would get his inventions. Let me just go quickly to this book of Elon Musk. Let me show you guys something. Very interesting. I found this very, very interesting. Okay. This is on page, bear with me, 33. Okay. All right. And this is how he would go into trances, all right? Literally. So I'll start from this. It says Elon exhibited all the traits of a curious, energetic tot. He picked things up easily, and May, like many mothers, did peg her son as brilliant and precocious. He seemed to understand things quicker than other kids, she said. The perplexing thing was that Elon seemed to drift off in a trance at times. People spoke to him, but nothing got through when he had a certain distant look in his eyes. This happened so often that his parents and doctors thought he might be deaf. Okay, so literally they tried to take out his Android glands, thinking that was what the problem was. Elon's condition had far more to do with the wiring of his mind and how his auditory systems functioned. He goes into his brain and then you just see he's in another world. And he still does that up to now. So literally what he would do is he would go into these states, and he continues to say when he would go into these states, what he would do is, for example, if he would look at this phone, when he goes into that kind of trance state, he would see this phone completed in his mind, and it disintegrates, and he sees all the different parts and then how they come together. So by the time he's coming to the table and saying, guys, let's do this, he has the full picture. He has seen how it plays out. This was the same thing Nikola Tesla used to do. So at the end of the day, when we're talking about spirituality and we're talking about science and we're trying to find the connection or find the trajectory, how we got to here, I'm a strong believer that the spirit world plays a very, very huge role.
And you know, if you look back, if you actually look at the people who have played a role, the people that we're referring to as techno gods, today, the actual techno gods are people like Mark Zuckerberg, Jeff Bezos, the big tech guys. Mm-hmm. But in the past, it wasn't big tech, it was scientists, geniuses. Mm-hmm. And they have specific, okay, most of them have specific traits. If mm-hmm. you look at Elon, Tesla.
Yes.
Tesla is quite similar to Elon Musk.
Correct.
He was weird.
Yes, he was.
He was weird. I think I read a story about him sometime and said he was, on the day that he was born, there was lightning. There was a lightning storm. Mm-hmm. And he had obsessive compulsive disorders. He was very specific about things and he mm-hmm. did not like to be touched. And you know, people who are like that, there's something mystical about them. Mm-hmm. And I feel that played a role. There's something inside them that allows them to connect to the spirit world and bring things into the existence, introduce innovations into this world more than the average person. I don't know what that thing is, but it is seen in the fact that they're always quite different. Albert Einstein was the same. Mm-hmm. If you sat down with him, you'd find he's a very strange and peculiar person. And so it seems like the spirit world works directly through these individuals to bring certain things onto earth. Now, before we go deeper into that, I want us to have a trajectory, because I want us to start from the Bible, then we'll bring in the rest of discussions. And before we started, of course, we were talking about when technology started. And you know, I look through the scripture and I realize that you know, the Bible says in Isaiah, God says, behold, I do a new thing. Do you not perceive it? And that scripture there, based on the Bible says we were created in the image of God and likeness of God. That scripture there is a sign that God is innovative. Mm-hmm. You understand? Mm-hmm. He's creative. Yes. And that very same aspect was planted into us.
Correct.
So, when God created man, there was an innovative function inside man. When he says, be fruitful, multiply, and fill the earth. Most people think filling the earth there is in relation to just human beings. Have as many babies as possible. But filling the earth could also mean fulfill your potential in terms of art, technology, culture. Fill it. Mm-hmm. You understand? Mm-hmm. You have had something to add, please.
Yes. That's very, very true. Because, you know, if you look back, as far as the scripture is concerned, you might think that, you know, that what we see today is actually new. Yet it's actually not. It started way back.
Started from somewhere.
In different forms. And if you look at, for instance, we're talking about how when the Lord said to Adam, that go and till the ground. You know, what was he going to use to till the ground? Mm. And it's interesting you mentioned that he's, you know, because we're created in the image of God, Adam had to create
something, yes.
Something to use to till the ground, yeah.
So that means there was a rudimentary technology. And I want to show you the trajectory. Then I bring in Agneta. So Adam is tilling the ground. There's technology. He's kicked out of the garden. After he's kicked out of the garden, he has two sons, Cain and Abel. According to scripture, Cain goes, starts a city. He must have had some form of technology in order to build a city.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Then scripture goes on to say in Genesis chapter 4, it says that Cain's descendants, one of them called Jabal, comes up with a tent. Mm-hmm. How on earth a city can exist before a tent beats my beats my understanding. Yeah?
Yeah.
Huh? Yes. But he says, okay, so he comes up with tents. He's the father of those
who dwell in tents.
Then he talks about Jubal, who was the father of those who invented organs.
Yes.
Okay? And by organs, I'm talking about musical instruments and the likes. Then he talks about Tubal Cain, who came up with brass and iron weaponry.
Yes. Mm.
Okay? So you can see the form of technology that man has at that time. Now, when we move fast forward from Genesis chapter 4, you go to Genesis chapter 6. And this is where this thing goes crazy, because in chapter 6, you know the story, these fallen angels have intercourse with the daughters of men and they give birth to the Nephilim. Now, from the book of Enoch, these guys, who some call the watchers, taught the children of men about certain ways, both spiritual and natural. So the technology was not only analog in nature. There's also a spiritual technology we should talk about.
Mm.
People had capacities. If you trace it through scripture, you'll see when you go to people like Abraham, Isaac sowed in a dry and barren land, and scripture says he reaped a hundredfold. There's some sort of spiritual technology taking on there. Then you go to Jacob. Jacob is looking at he gets goat and sheep.
Yes.
Puts reeds right in front of them.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
They give birth to speckled and spotted. How? What kind of technology is there? So it moves from that. Then it moves on further to now we reach Moses. A man is turning a stick into a snake. And then Joshua, someone is making the sun stand still. Have you seen the increase of the spiritual technology? All right. Then the natural technology in itself. We move all the way from Genesis chapter 6, and I said there was a jump. And we reach the Tower of Babel, where these guys are convinced without a shadow of a doubt that they can build a tower that reaches the tops of heaven. Okay?
Oh.
And their confidence was not in God, it was in their technology, their ability.
Yes.
And since then, man's trust in their ability has only
increased.
Yeah. Agneta.
Yes, it's funny you bring up the Tower of Babel, because right now every simple progress we see in technology is because everybody is trying to reach God. That is what everybody is going after. They want to reach God. Right now, the way the technology sphere stands, it is the closest thing that every human being on this earth is currently experiencing that is very close to the spiritual. Because just defining the spiritual is difficult. But spirituality is belief in something you don't really see.
Mm-hmm.
And you know that it's more powerful than you. It can do something you can't do, or it can make your life easier. That is technology. Completely. Everything they are doing is to do something that a human being naturally cannot do, or something to make our lives easier. And all of that is so that they can become like God, so that they don't need God.
But let's be clear, guys. I don't want people to think that we think that technology is just bad. Eh?
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Because even the church needs it. Mm-hmm. We're using it.
Mm-hmm.
Right now we're going to be on YouTube. we have phones right here. You know?
Yes.
So the technology has its positive functions.
Mm-hmm.
But what's scaring us? What's making us a bit itchy and uneasy about the direction that of where technology is headed?
I think when you pose the question like that, I think the biggest fear is when technology will go before us and seem to represent what our souls should be yearning for, which is the connection that we should be having with God. Because ideally, when Adam was put in the Garden of Eden, He was supposed to have continuous fellowship with God. At some point, he lost that. Now, at the end of the day, the technology that's there now, like you said, got to a point where it felt like, I think we can do it on our own.
Mm.
Back then, it seemed like, okay, that was such a small issue. Now, it's getting to the point where people are tapping into trying to switch consciousness, trying to affect the soul, trying to, you know, get into the spirit realm of things. You have things like the metaverse coming in, okay, where now people are living in a virtual world, which is more like living in the spirit world. Mm-hmm. So at the end of the day, if they can try to recreate events like that, or if you have the existence of things like nanotech or nanomedicine, where at the end of the day, what, let's say per se, you could have achieved through healing, you now achieve through technology, and then the question is, what's the relevance of God in all of this? So I think for me, that would be where the fear of, or the concern rather, of where technology is headed would be coming in from, when it gets to a point where it will replace God per se.
Derek,
yes,
you're going to come in because I believe you have something to touch on metaverse. Mm-hmm. But you guys realize that, well, most of us in our generation, when we grew up, we used to play outside.
Mm-hmm. Hmm? Yeah.
I don't remember having a cell phone. Internet wasn't there. This cuts across with our generation.
Yeah.
Now, after some time, the kids in the I generation have grown up with phones, uh-huh. cell phones. I mean, some of these kids go to school with cell phones. That would be a dream for us in the past. And they have internet.
Yes.
Now, they hold a phone in their hand. Some of them learn from in class, depending on which school you go to, using tabs. Yeah. Yeah. You understand? Yeah. But now that technology is going to shift, just like there was a point when we did not have, and it has shifted to having this technology in a handheld device. That technology is going to switch from the handheld device to the mind. Okay? So there's going to be a fusion between internet and the mind, which is what we're heading into, which brings us to the metaverse.
Yes. So, and so you know, you mentioned that technology is good. We don't want people to get into this whole weirdness of thinking technology is of the devil. It is not, because we know from scripture that Adam is the first engineer.
Yeah.
You know, and he's able to cultivate. He was not sleeping under trees, as people would like to think, you know. But here's the thing, that the thing that shocks the flow, because God, creating us in his image, made us have that innate ability to make things, and which is technology. Now, what shocks the flow of things is the jump, you know, because everything is flowing well until, you know,
Genesis 6.
We have Genesis 6.
Right.
And then now people begin to manifest technology which is far beyond their timeline, you know. So after the flood and, you know, all of that is destroyed, the flow is back to reset. But now, what the scripture with the Lord saying that in the last days, they will be as the days of Noah.
Mm.
That's what it's talking about, that in the last days, there's going to be another jump of technology, you know. And so now that is what we are in. And in things like, it's interesting you mentioned the metaverse. And the metaverse itself is not new, because in the days of Noah, because if that scripture stands true, that in the last days we will be as it was in the days of Noah, then that means that there is, because if you compare, it says in the last days it will be both the days of Noah and Lot. Mm. In the days of Lot, we know what to doubt,
mm-hmm.
you know, but in the days of Noah, that means that is where this metaverse thing began, because we see people astral projecting, teleporting, and you know, there's also something interesting people don't realize, that it was not just animals that were corrupted, even the plants, mm-hmm. you know, the weirdness. What we grew up in school studying as this thing where they, you know,
grafting
and what,
yeah.
like, man, there's all of that was, you know,
mm-hmm.
A jump in technology, you know, and so now this metaverse actually started in the days of Noah, and that is actually what we have now. So people have this ability to go into, first of all, let's define what the metaverse is, and it is coined from a phrase that an author called Neil Stevenson in his book called Snow Crash, which is 1992, by the way, so it's not really a very new thing. So he coins this word, and in this book he speaks of a time in the world which will be dystopian. economies will have crashed. Is it true today?
Mm-hmm.
We know if you're watching the news, you know, okay, at least if you're in, you know, if you have a wallet, you know the economy is, you know. Then you say, so governments will fail. Is that true now?
Mm-hmm.
So, and how was that created? Remember when the COVID lockdown started, everything began from there. But here's the thing. What people don't know is that because of Donald Trump, this, what we're having now, was supposed to come in the time of 2016.
Yeah.
Not now. Trump delayed it, you know, as God's vessel. But so this metaverse thing, I remember growing up, there was a neighbor who had video games. You know, for us, we could not, you know, afford them. But we went to play this game called Grand Theft Auto. Now, when you play Grand Theft Auto, something happens to you. You know, you gain this confidence to commit crime. And there's actually a suit in Alabama, in the courts of Alabama, where a teenager shot 3 people dead because of playing Grand Theft Auto. And you may think it's weird, but if you've played video games before, you know. Because I remember one time walking on the road, and I look at a car, and I'm like, ha, if I was playing my game, I'd just open, you know, and stab this guy, what? Hey, you know, and I'm a boy, I'm a little boy. You know, I was just thinking about it and saying, there's something about the metaverse that right now has just been amplified, but we think it's new, yet it's not. It's just that now, because of the World Economic Forum, which is now the platform that the New World Order is using to launch its ideas, actually on top of its agendas for this year is the metaverse. Yet it is the World Economic Forum.
How long do you think it's going to take for the metaverse to be fully functional?
Two things. In their official PR campaign, it says in 10 years, so that's 2030. Yeah. But the truth is, it actually already exists. But in what is the public platform is still in its undeveloped because they can't bring
everything,
the entirety of it, because everyone will not.
But let me ask you guys, because you're coming in, Mbaki, because this metaverse thing just really, it amuses me. So in essence, the metaverse is a whole different thing from virtual reality. It's VR, right? Because VR, you wear some goggles and, but the metaverse, you're inserted into, because I've heard that people are actually even buying real estate.
Yeah.
Yes.
In the metaverse.
Yeah.
Yes.
You
a piece of land in the metaverse costs $2,000. But currently, the highest purchase of property is about $700 million in one of the platforms I was reading today. That $700 million in a virtual world.
So who's going to afford that? Okay. The average person definitely can't afford that, right?
Yeah.
But the money, because you see, it's from the words metaverse. Now meta means beyond or transcending.
Yes.
Yeah. And verse from the word universe. So if they are providing a platform where people can transcend this current reality into another reality.
Now, to ask that question, and Maki comes in, I'm interested to hear, is the metaverse a spiritual realm?
Yes. There is no doubt about it.
There's no doubt about it.
Yes, it is. It is. From Proverbs, the scripture says that as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Christians don't understand that actually is a door. It's a portal that God gave us to enter another
world.
That's
interesting.
This world, a spiritual world, where I don't have a job now, but when I'm meditating, I see myself wearing my suit, walking out, opening the car, yet I don't even own a bicycle now, and I enter the car, and I'm driving to office, and you know, they're opening for me the door, and I'm signing documents. I am currently employed in that spiritual world, in my imagination. I am employed, all these big things. But when I come out of it, I don't even have breakfast. You understand? So it's a principle from scripture. As you think, so are you. So they're offering the world this opportunity to be who you want to be, do what you want to do in that world.
Maki. Yeah, look like it's burning. Go ahead.
Yeah. Now, we're talking about metaverse. I think some of us in the church might think, oh, metaverse, maybe it's still far away from us. As of this year, the church entered the metaverse. I hope we're aware.
Yes.
There is a church in Virginia that is already having services in the metaverse. Not only services, but they say they have reached the point where they are actually baptizing people in the metaverse. Now, the spiritual significance of that, or the weight of that compared to the actual baptism, I don't understand. Now, to give credibility to what you said in terms of when this metaverse will mature, you said 2030, correct? Let me read for you what Euronews said about this church.
Who?
The last line, Euronews.
Okay, yes.
Okay? This is a news website. So after this guy tries to explain how they run the church service in the metaverse and why it would be important for people and whatsoever, he ends by saying this: it's just wild what we can do now. I can't imagine in 8 years what it's going to look like. This publication was as of 3rd of Feb 2022.
This year, I think.
If you add 8 to 2022, it's 2030.
Yeah.
Okay. Agneta, feed into the conversation.
No, I think that the only thing that's really stopping it from being public is because they want to make it as immersive as possible. So they are currently working on the fidelity. Right now, when you're in the virtual world and you watch all those videos, you can tell that I'm an avatar. It's not really me.
Yes.
Yes. But now they are working on augmented reality in the virtual reality so that it looks as real as you and me look right now. Mm. And that's the only thing that's delaying them. Everything else has been put in place. Of course, now there's the politics of who is going to run the baseline platform and be the person who takes all the credit. That's the only thing that's left. But it's becoming crazy.
But my thing is,
crazy.
If I have a church in the metaverse, what's wrong with that?
It is very wrong. Mm-hmm. Because the scripture says in Hebrews, do not give up the habit of meeting together.
Yes.
What the cardinal role of the metaverse is to disconnect you from reality, from people.
Mm.
And that's the first casualty of the metaverse.
Yes.
You know, disconnect. Because he was mentioning a pastor. I found a pastor called Soto. He's called Pastor Soto. And they have their church. And he started it in 2018 on a platform called Altspace VR.
That's actually the guy.
That's the guy.
Yeah.
DJ Soto. So they have, services and they are ministering to people. So instead of going to fellowship on Friday at Silver Springs, we all sit in our chairs and the man of God is also at home. He puts on his headset and he ministers to us in the comfort of his house. But what does the script, why does the Lord want us to meet? And why is he so interested in where two or three are gathered?
Mm-hmm.
You know, physically, not in, you know, so much that even the apostles, when they are away physically, they come at least in the spirit. Because they want to be where people are physically gathered. When the Lord is coming in the evening to meet Adam, he doesn't come to meet Adam's spirit.
In the
He's meeting the man in the flesh, you know, and they are walking in the garden and talking. So there's an interest in, as far as God is concerned. He wants to be where flesh and blood is.
Yeah.
An interesting thing is that there will never be a time when we don't have a body.
Exactly. And your bodies are the temple of the Lord.
But you see, the thing is, let me ask. So in this metaverse, can a spiritual entity show up in the metaverse? Will people be interacting, say, with demons?
Yes. They will. Because, first of all, right now, before I even talk about the metaverse, right now, I can be, I'm in my house worshipping, and an angel shows up.
Right.
Yeah? And he tells me a message. Or a man of God shows up. You know, and I'm in a dream, maybe sleeping, and the man of God shows up and tells me, now, this, you know, the Lord is saying this and this. Now, in the metaverse, it will be no different. Because, you know, initially, when you enter the metaverse and how they're marketing it, I wanted to react to something she said about what is delaying us. And you know, initially, when you enter the metaverse, it's open. You know, you enter and you think you're the one controlling the metaverse. Mm-hmm. You're the one in charge. That is just the honeymoon. When the honeymoon is done, you actually realize you are being controlled by the metaverse.
Yeah.
Yeah. So one of the things that is actually delaying the full form of the metaverse to be released is actually the church. Because they're not marketing the metaverse to the world, the people of the world.
Mm.
No, because the people of the world are already part of their system. For instance, if you're watching on TV and there's an advert of toothpaste and there's a model, you know, brushing, you know, his teeth, they are not marketing that toothpaste to the model. That model is already part of them, is already, you know, included. They are marketing it to us. So that's how it is, exactly, that the metaverse is not being marketed to the people of the world. They are already part of it, whether they know it or not. It's just now us, the church. Because if you look at, for instance, in the garden, when the enemy comes and tempts Eve, all the devil needs is for her to, you know, first of all, he speaks and says, "Has the Lord said?" What he's doing is he's opening her imagination. Mm. And she's thinking, but what happens if I eat this thing? And scripture says that she saw. Yeah. All this time she's seeing the fruit, but she doesn't see that it's good for food until the devil comes. Then she sees that it's good for food and desirous to make you wise. Where was she? She was in the verse, you know, in the metaverse, for lack of better words, because we are trying to relate it with the subject tonight. So she sees who she can be in the metaverse, wise and able to do so many things that the Lord is currently hindering her from doing, you know. So when she comes back, she says, "This thing is good." She eats it, and nothing has happened yet until she gives Adam. Then suddenly everything crumbles. So that's exactly the metaverse. It's not new. It started from the garden. It got projected into a different age of Noah. It has always existed because it's all about the imagination. Because isn't it interesting that the Bible says that in the beginning, the Lord created the heavens and the earth, and the Spirit of the Lord hovered over the waters. Yeah? It hovered over the waters. Yeah? And then he says, "Let there be." Yeah? All this time there has been darkness. But when he says, "Let there be," suddenly something bees. And that's how it is in the metaverse. I enter and I'm looking at my room and I say, "I want a telescope here. Let there be." They're giving us the ability, that ability that Eve was promised, you know, to actually be, to create.
But let me ask, these people who have created this metaverse, do they know exactly what they're doing, or they're just being used? I really want to know. I'm interested.
Okay. Yeah, sure. Let's come in maybe before I.
So interestingly, Facebook changed its name, parent name to Meta. Mm-hmm. And if you're a person who's interested in that kind of thing, you'd notice that the activity on Facebook over the years has been dwindling.
Yes.
Okay. And people are shifting to Instagram, TikTok, especially TikTok. Yeah? And so. But even with those dwindling numbers, it's easy to think that Facebook has lost it. But the tactic of putting all your eggs, you know, Mark Zuckerberg has put all his eggs into Meta.
$10 billion. Mm.
And not just that. What is it? I think it was Google that invested, also co-invested into Meta.
Yes.
They know something that the rest of us don't know. Because you can't put all your eggs into one basket like that. Mm-hmm. So my question is that if they could do this and they literally know a lot of things that most of us, or most, a majority of the world does not know, do they know what they're doing? Mm. Or are they being used?
I think they know. Because as human beings, where Mark Zuckerberg has reached, he's looking for a thrill. He needs something new, something that hasn't been done before. And that thing should give him maximum control. The amount of control he will have if Meta is the base platform for the metaverse. I mean, he has already claimed it. He has called himself Meta. Mm. He knows what he is doing. And then all of that is to have control, because they have all the money they want. Facebook isn't going anywhere. Instagram isn't. They want to conquer new realms, and they don't want to use God, because all these things are found in God as well, but they don't want to have to do that. So they have created a whole new spirit realm. They know what they're doing. There's no way they don't.
I think he thinks he knows, but he doesn't know. That's what I think. I think they think they know.
I like the counter thought.
But, yeah, but they don't know. Because I don't think the devil is that stupid, because he always needs to have an alternative. He needs to have a plan B, a plan C, because he really doesn't know what the future really holds. So at the end, and I don't think the devil is the type who is going to say, okay, after you do this, I will give you a throne in hell with me after you've achieved all of that. So I think he thinks he knows, or they think they know, but they don't. Because after they've been used, the devil knows his fate. And he can convince these other guys otherwise, and they would believe him because he's the master deceiver. He's very cunning. He can paint for you a picture that looks like, oh, this is the future, but he knows what he's chasing. So he knows it, but he's not going to reveal that to them. Because if he tells you at the end of the day, and he shows you that, look, this is what you're coming to. The eternity you're coming to is hell. These flames, all of these, even your children. I don't think this.
I think I know where Derek is coming with this. Derek, I know where you're coming with this. Go ahead.
Okay, I have a counter thought.
Yes, yes.
As it was in the days of Noah,
so shall
it be in the last days.
Mm-hmm.
When God tells Noah to go and build the ark, Noah sees into the heavenlies, into the vast, for lack of, keep the subject. And he sees this ark, sees the dimensions, hears them, and, he sees where everything is going to, he even sees the animals entering before they enter. Mm-hmm. Because, the Lord allocates everything to where it's supposed to be. Noah knows that I'm building this ark because it's going to rain for 40 days. God is going to destroy the earth. So God says, go tell everybody.
Mm.
So now there are two kinds of people, that the knowers and those Noah is going to tell. Like in every ministry, there's the man of God or the woman of God. And then
congregation.
The congregation. Uh-huh. You get it? Eh? You get the flow. My analogy. Uh-huh. So at the very top, the Zuckers. And actually, it's not just Facebook. It's Disney. It's Google. It's...
But you see, my point is there.
It's Apple. And at the top, they know exactly what their master is doing.
But the question is, you see, my point is, because I have a counter to that. And this is interesting.
Three counters. I am preparing my counter.
But my thing is,
yes.
Are they at the top? Because I don't think they're at the top. I think there are people above them who are at the top who are in contact.
You're right. You actually cut me short.
Yeah, okay. So okay,
our counter is the same.
It's the same. Okay, go ahead.
So I was saying, like, there are two kinds of people, the knowers and the rest. So now, have you heard of the phrase, they will own nothing and be happy?
Yes.
Mm. Yes.
Until that is released, it's not just a phrase. It's coming from the dark world. Until that is released, we don't know anything about the metaverse. When that happens, suddenly we are seeing people, wearing headsets, owning estates and what, and they're happy in that world. Be happy, own nothing and be happy. They are saying be happy in the other world, not this one. So at the very top, those that sit at the cabinet know what's happening. And it's like in an organization, the CEOs, I'd like to believe that the CEO knows what the janitor does not.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah.
So I don't know if our counter is...
Yes. So in essence, if Mark Zuckerberg is the CEO of Meta,
yes.
All right? I believe there's someone he takes orders from.
Yes.
Who's in the shadows, mm-hmm. unseen, unnamed. Mm-hmm. And that person has direct contact with the spirit world and the agenda that has to be brought onto this earth. So it's possible for Zuckerberg to implement something without knowing the full story.
Yes.
But he knows at least
a
major part of it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
But he doesn't know the end.
The end, yes.
Okay, that's my...
Enough to convince him to go with the plan.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's and that's why they need meetings like the Davos meeting or Davos or Devos. I prefer to call it Devos. Because from that place has turned out to be, they say incredulous things. From there, and they are affected immediately. Now, the metaverse, like I had mentioned earlier, is actually number one on their predictions. Number one. Interesting. They have other predictions like self-producing crops. If you've seen the protests in Netherlands about the farmers protesting, they're actually protesting. The government is telling them that their cows are producing CO2, rather nitrogen, and they're contributing. But here's the thing. That entire thing of climate change is actually a fight against life. Why? Because they are fighting carbon. When God created the earth, carbon exists in everything on the earth. And do you know how much I was reading that out of the 100 million tons of nitrogen that has been released in the earth, it only contributes 1% to CO2 emission. So it's, they're literally fighting life, you know, God, you know, through things like those. You get it? So it's actually on top of the agenda of the enemy, the metaverse, and this whole AI thing. Yeah.
Agneta.
I have a question.
This is the place to have you.
Rabbi will answer.
So I think I'm just trying to figure out, like, what now, because I think the counterpoints were good points.
Yes.
Yeah, they counted. And do you think that devils, because I would think that the whole thing is the human soul. That's what they want.
Yes. Yeah.
So that's his overall agenda. Mm-hmm. And anyways, because I'm thinking, I'm trying to think of now what's his goal. Because since Mark seems he doesn't know everything, and there's that guy behind Mark who knows more. And I'm just trying to sort of think through what could be the end goal that we can look at and then as a church sort of start to work through it.
You want to...
you see, the thing is, I've already said that there are three privileges that man was created with that no other being on earth has. We have the privilege of redemption. Man can make a mistake and God can overlook it by the blood of Jesus Christ. Angels can't do that. They make a mistake, they become demons. You understand? Then there's the privilege of marriage. Okay? No other being,
hallelujah,
has that. Derek, you know, has that privilege. Then lastly is the privilege of multiplication.
Yes.
Demons cannot give birth. Thank God. Imagine demons giving birth. Now,
yes,
it seems that the devil isn't just interested in man alone and the capacity that man has, because man has the spirit of God inside of him, and he was given dominion over this earth. The devil also is interested in this small planet.
Yes.
And it's
yes. It's very true. Before I get to the planet, you know, the scripture says in 1 Corinthians, I think 6, that, you know, give yourselves unto your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost.
That's it.
You know, and you're bought at a price. And then it says something interesting there. It says that, therefore, honor God with your body and your spirit, which is God's.
Mm-hmm.
But there's someone missing, and that's the soul.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because in the soul is where the soul is the thing that we have that no one else has.
Yeah.
You know, so when that's the point that Robert is making, that they are actually after us, but also about over this planet. Because we know that in the end, there has to be, you know, a return of Christ, one, on the earth, but also there has to be a millennium on this very earth. And then finally, there has to be a new earth. So if you can stop any of those three in its tracks, the dead God is liar.
But here's my thing, because this metaverse thing is just so interesting. We have other things to touch, but I want us to really delve into it.
Yeah.
How does... Because I'm going to ask a tough question. You're on Facebook,
yes.
Are you not?
Yes, I am.
I'm not on Instagram as an individual, actively anyway. Mm. I don't even know what happens on TikTok, but I know people who get there. But I'm on Facebook, okay? I'm some form of social media. I'm on YouTube, and most of us are.
Mm-hmm.
When the metaverse is launched, will you participate?
On social media? Yes, you
because you see, my point is,
yes,
we are on these platforms because they have their benefits.
Yes,
okay, and I'm sure they're going to sell these benefits to the church to get them into. And most of these benefits are very hard to deny, especially if you're trying to reach out to people and all the people are there.
I see.
You get my point.
I see what you're saying, because it's just more like how Zoom happened. We didn't see it coming.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, we couldn't meet physically. Then, even for the organizations, it became the avenue to
necessity,
meet. So,
yes.
All of a sudden, let's have a Zoom meeting. And before you knew it, you didn't even have to think twice whether it was, I need to attend the meeting, Zoom. Mm. So, I get where you're coming from. That's a very, very tricky bit in terms of the transition from Facebook to Metaverse and realizing that you have been caught in this thing.
Mm.
And the transition was smooth in such a way that you didn't see it coming, and now you're in there.
But even if you saw it coming, if all the people you're trying to reach, all the interaction is there. You're forced to go there. Mm-hmm. So imagine I have a ministry that is 100,000 strong, and physically in this country I only have 5,000 people, but the rest are all over the world.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, the benefits of metaverse have been flaunted so much that that's the place to meet.
Yes.
What do you do as a church?
What you do as a church is you do not join.
Yes.
Because you don't even dare join. Because here's the thing. You know, you so like I said in the beginning, you think you have control when you enter.
Mm.
But it's until you enter that you realize it's like the spiritual realm. You think you're the one using God when you've just become saved. I want this, it's there. I want this, it's there. Then suddenly he's saying, surrender. And you realize, I'm not the one in control. So if you're a church, you don't enter. But the advantage, like, from the going back to the question you asked about social media and what, actually, the idea is to shift it from what she said, augmented reality, into taking it into the virtual space. And it is already there in small forms. For instance, if you're playing video games, you have the ability to play online and chat with someone in another country. So that's exactly how it will be, that everything will be shifted to that plane. That's why all these big companies, Apple, Disney, Google, Facebook, are all investing heavily.
So you're saying from day one, the church should say no?
From day one, if it is a spiritual church, because I know already,
churches
are there. They're already there. They're actually already there.
Yeah.
But if it's a spiritual church, it should know better.
Yeah, because someone can argue it out and say, but there are people there who we need to reach out to and serve them. You know, it's like how when we are still young Christians, everybody, I think, has this joke of how when we're still young Christians, you'd think, okay, you can take this gospel and you go to the club and then you preach it there. And when you first go in the first time, nothing is happening. Then the next time you go, you start nodding your head. The next time, you're stamping your foot. And before you know it, you're dancing. So you're part of.
The crowd.
It could be some churches would think like that. So at the end of the day, then the question is.
But what if, okay, what if someone out there is asking, they're struggling to find how being in the metaverse plays into the end time? Because I can understand how getting a chip in my hand or in my head plays a role in, like, that 666 and so on. But how does being in that virtual reality play into the end time? What is the major role it plays?
First of all, I would like to correct your question. It's not different.
It's not different. That's
the mark of the beast. That's the end game. Because the scripture says that that they will have a mark on their hand or on the forehead. Now, this mark on the forehead, previously we thought it's going to be like a barcode, you know? But now we realize that it's actually talking about invasive technology. It is going to be implanted.
But you see, how do you? I've been trying to look through. So we have this metaverse. How do you differentiate? Because ideally, it's going to be like a chip in the brain that will allow people to, I think it's something like that, to enter this virtual reality. Mm-hmm. How do you differentiate it from Neuralink? And what Elon Musk
is. I think Neuralink it helps the metaverse. It's supposed to support it. It's the mechanism that helps the metaverse become real. Mm-hmm. And at the end of it's what's going to create the global.
Okay, so someone who doesn't know what Neuralink is actually, it's a company, I think, that Elon Musk has started, that focuses on enhancing the capacity of the brain. And there's some future stuff in there. It's freaky. But
I was still making
the point
of the mark of the beast. Because see, in that scripture it says that it will force the rich
and the
great, the poor, everybody's trapped by the mark. How does he do that? There has to be a way that people are convinced to actually take this mark in order to transact. For instance, if I want to connect to the internet, I have to buy internet bundles. I am forced to buy internet bundles.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that's exactly how it will be, that they need this alternate universe in order for them you know, to reach out to people en masse. Now, you asked that if, you know, should the church go? Now, here's the thing, that when I'm home praying and I say I'm in the spirit and I begin to see things, an angel appears to me, that's how it will be in the metaverse, that demons will appear to people. Because the subject of avatars, if you've watched the film, Avatar, an actual cripple human being enters this, you know, alternate universe,
and he can
and
walk.
He can walk, and he has this body, a blue huge body. That's how the avatars are. You can choose what avatar.
Can
you want.
Angels appear in the metaverse? I'm curious.
Interesting question. Maybe we should ask them. Maybe wait, Mark, you know, I should ask you. Yours is Mark. Mark should tell
us. This is because this feeds into. Have you heard of transhumanism?
Yes.
Yes.
You've heard of transhumanism.
Yes. Yes.
So ideally, what transhumanism is that. There seems to be a transition, an intentional transition to try to get man from being what makes him man into something else altogether. That's and it includes like trying to transfer consciousness to machines.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. They're playing around with DNA. Recently, I saw somewhere that they've invented a robot that can reproduce. I wish I could. We'll get that clip. Eh? I found it ridiculous, but it's a real thing. So the cells of the robot are able to reproduce themselves. Okay, and that's just at a lower level. So imagine if they could do that. So they're getting all these aspects of that make us human beings. If you notice, I find it interesting that our DNA. Is about 80% matched to a cow's DNA. 80%, then what? 90-something percent to a chimpanzee, then a chicken, you know? So our DNA is not so far apart, okay? But there is something inside our DNA that makes us superior, an invisible ingredient.
Yes.
Because if you look at all these other animals, we are close, our genetics are close to each other, and yet they're not as superior as we are. There's an invisible thing that was put in. Now, there's an aim through transhumanism to try to manipulate that DNA, okay, and create almost another human being.
Yes.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, the reason why I brought that up is because I feel that is playing into the end times. In fact, we did a whole series on end times, but this is coming in. I feel it plays in that, you know, right now technology is focusing a lot on, they drive the medical aspect of it. Eh?
Mm-hmm.
If we could get nanobots and put them inside of you, they'll be able to,
rebuild your cells.
Think of all the diseases we could cure.
Uh-huh, all that. Eh? So they fronted the medical front. Now, soon there's going to be talking about, our memory, you could have longer memory. Huh?
Yes.
You could see better, farther, smell, much, have a sense of smell much stronger than an average human being. Strength. So everything will be expounded. Eh?
Mm.
All right? Now, the way God originally made us would have changed. Now, at the end times, there's going to be a battle that we talked about at some point, which I believe will have to include some form of, I'll call them super soldiers.
Superhumans.
Yeah, they're superhumans. Yes, so they're these guys who, maybe they were connected to the metaverse, but something about them changed. Okay, they have different capacities, and here comes this war, and it's not a war between normal...
Yes.
human beings.
Yeah.
Something has changed. Agneta?
Yes, I was actually reading about this. And it's very interesting how they are looking for ways to change. It's so crazy because they say there's this gene in you. That's the reason why you're like this. If you don't like being like that, then we can change the gene and then your memory is better. You have blue eyes now. You don't need to wear contacts for that. It's such a they are really trying to find, and the thing they keep mentioning and I found very interesting is they want to find that code of life.
Yeah, what do they call it?
That's what it was, code of life. Like, what's that? That code of life, we are cracking it. We are going to get it. They just want to be immortal. They want to offer immortality to human beings.
So actually, that's the end goal. And you've heard of the God particle. So ideally, I was talking about what they call the Hadron Collider. It's in Switzerland. I think it's this huge machine that was created in 1998 and 2000, between 1998 and 2002, I think. And the purpose of it is to study the smallest particles and then collide them. Now, the Hadron Collider is an interesting thing because its purpose is to search for the God particle. That the particle that was the beginning of all particles. Now, they're wasting time because, you know, you've heard of the singularity.
Yes.
So singularity, in essence, is something similar. So there's this one thing that led to everything. And the Bible says it. In him, nothing was created. created. Jesus is the God particle.
And you're looking for him in a particle.
He is the God particle. So I feel like the way technology is going right now, it is, like we've been saying, you didn't want that word. There seems to be a fusion between, technology, its source was spirit. But now the line between what we call technology and the spirit world is very thin to the extent that you even wonder, is this spirit? Is this, you know? We just looked at a video of a Google engineer whistleblowing that the machine that Google has, the computer that they have, has a soul. Actually has a soul. Now, we didn't go into the depth of it. You look for it when you can. But in it, he writes down the questions he asked this computer. Freaky! And the computer answers like any normal human being could have answered. And his conclusion was, this thing has a soul. How they achieved that? I have.
it's incredible.
It's incredible.
And I actually think that's how, that's one of the purposes of the virtual reality tool, be for people to interact with the demonic without their knowledge. So you think you're talking to a normal avatar human being, and yet it's not, but that's the form that it has to take now to interact with someone who is more spiritually aware. But you can't tell what's real and what's not because everything has been made to seem like it's real. It's freaky.
So let me ask, we've talked about the metaverse. I want us to look at things like, let's look at, for example, cloning. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
As far back as I can remember, in the 1990s, the first thing they ever cloned was a ship. Yes. Officially.
Dolly the ship.
Yeah, Dolly the ship. I think Dolly the ship died. Mm-hmm. Huh? And since then, cloning has gone quiet. But, you know the way the dark world operates, and we say dark world because a lot of these things have an ulterior motive. There is always technology that is fronted to the world, and there is technology that is hidden. It is secret.
Mm-hmm.
And I want it to be clear that it's obviously all the technology that we have and that is introduced to us in steps, most likely some group of people had it years, years before it was released. And for their own purposes, they're controlling the knowledge that people have, the access that people have to this technology. It's even the same thing with spiritual technology. There are people out there with the dark arts, or even light, with the ability to manipulate things in the spirit. Just by looking at the moon, a person can make another person short. You understand?
Mm.
There's a technology that he knows of the spirit, but there's a group of people who have kept it to themselves. As the world, quote unquote, modernizes. And so we are, ignorance is a huge factor that the enemy is using to ensure that his agenda is furthered to a particular end. My question then is that if we're looking at things like cloning, we're looking at any other technologies that have come up over time. Recently, I saw a video of a car where once you sit in it, it can tell you what you ate for breakfast, what your likes and dislikes are, where you'd like to go. You haven't yet told it. It's almost prophetic. You understand? That's literally a spiritual it's a spiritual car. What does God expect from the church? Because you see, the challenge is all these technologies seem to be coming from one avenue. Individuals that ideally are being, if they're not directly in contact with the enemy, their tools. What is the church doing? Are we not supposed to come up with technology?
We are. Actually, we are in slumber, absolute slumber. Because the scripture says, Luke 19:13, occupy until I come. Now, if you're going to stop anyone from doing the will of God, they have a spirit which is listening to God, and they have a body which will move to do that thing. But you have to capture their soul. And that's the purpose of the metaverse. That trap them in a place where they can do nothing. That's why do nothing, owe nothing, be happy. Trap them in a place. Now, the thing is, as a church, we are supposed to actually have technology that, and you know, even in, we have it already in raw forms. Because, for instance, right now, you know, people have ability to, you know, to communicate each other telepathically, you know. And you know, I can be able to read your thoughts, and we can, you know, and in, you know, it says actually in the millennium, you know, because we're going to have glorified bodies, you're able to just, you know, go to London by the thought, you know, of all, because we will have that ability. But as a church, we're instead waiting for the world to give us, because first of all, we're even ignorant that, you know.
So you're saying we're supposed to have like our own Facebook, our own...
Yes!
Okay.
We're supposed to have all these things, and so, they are good.
So what happens? Is it possible for Jesus to come back when we haven't done all that?
It will be unfortunate.
It's possible.
But yes, it's possible.
It's possible.
Yeah, the answer is yes. But yes. It's possible. And we will be judged for it, because we cannot leave these things for the people who will be in the millennium, you know? Because in the millennium, life is going to continue. Technology is going to continue advancing. Yet we are the one. We could be the ones. The church could be the one which introduces mystical technologies to people who will be alive at the time of the millennium. You know. But we are. We are just going about with religion and all of these things.
And you know, creation awaits for the manifestation of the sons of God, right? And then the Bible also says, in the last days, He'll pour out His Spirit. And this is the thing that the church is not really paying attention to. And I like to liken it to just, the church is still slumbering. And unfortunately, most Christians are lazy. I think that's just the best way to handle this whole thing. They are just lazy. Because at the end of the day, when the Spirit is poured out, and now we're in the last days, where literally this is what our forefathers were at some point looking at, saying, if only I could live in that time, where, like you're saying, if I need to talk to you, I can do it telepathically, okay? When I need to move, I can just teleport, and things like that. If we were to take our positions and actually harness those powers and harness those abilities, things like the metaverse would seem so inferior to this. Because the experience of someone, if you find someone who knows a lot of spiritual crafting, or he's a, you know, he has literally mastered that, and he knows that, you cannot convince them that the metaverse is better. So I think for us to counter that, it would be for the church to rise up and take.
But these guys, you know, these guys seem to, like, I'll give you an example. Google owns all these servers. Okay, literally, if you're starting something, I stand to be corrected. I think Facebook uses some of Google's servers, right? Yes. If you're starting something on the face of this earth, it's literally impossible at the current level to start something without using
one of what
they control.
Yeah.
Okay? So for a Christian to start something that is outside that, first of all, you need to have your own separate servers. Mm-hmm. Then you have to have your own satellites.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? For that to happen, we need to have our own billionaires.
Yes. And you need to have your own spiritual architecture of the things. You understand? Mm. It needs to be something that's superior. Mm. Because as long as it's inferior to what these guys have, we are not.
The world will flock to it.
Yes.
The world will leave it. Sure. It will leave the church and go to the other one. Mm. So it needs to be something that's superior. Mm. And the advantage that we have is, by the power of God and the Spirit, we can actually do that. We can connect to that, and because if that's the intention, so that at the end of the day we are holding fort until he comes back, we can actually
Daniel
do that.
Is told, you know, that in the last days knowledge shall it's not just talking about knowledge of scripture and what, it's talking about political knowledge, technological knowledge, you know, so everything. We as a church, we have the ability to develop these things. And if you're actually called in that sphere of influence, if you're called into the technological world and you are seated there doing nothing, we will not be happy on the day of judgment.
I want to really highlight on this as we get into the last segment. Eh? Cloning, because I feel someone, cloning in its true sense is literally, they get you in, I don't know how they do it, but they produce another version of you.
Mm.
But that version does not have a soul.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Okay? That version does not have a soul. So man is trying to take the place of God.
Mm-hmm.
Huh?
Mm-hmm. Yes. So that's called reproductive cloning.
Right.
Yeah. So they got the embryo and then they do their things, introduce things, separate things. And then they get that embryo and actually a human, if they want a human being, a human woman has to be a surrogate. And when they give birth to this person, it stands to be, I didn't find anything that said that the person had a soul. But it's basically to transfer, they are looking for is to transfer consciousness, to transfer life experiences, to transfer the potent parts of your DNA to another human being that looks exactly like you. Exactly. There's nothing different. And yes, a part of that is for the, it's again, goes back to immortality, because if you have someone that looks like you but doesn't have a soul, and then your heart starts to fail, free heart, and your body won't reject it because
it's you.
It's you. Yes. It's your heart. So just
that's very interesting.
And piss.
Switch.
Yeah. And then also therapeutic cloning is the one where they, this time they don't use a human womb. That's how they get stem cells. So the stem cells now create a whole new body part. And so they start regenerating. And it's easy for you to say, oh, my blood just replaced the blood. Mm-hmm. Yeah? My heart, my liver, my kidney. So that one is more ethical. Mm-hmm. And it's the one that has been pushed in the medical fields. And it's the one that, it's the front, like how you said earlier, someone said, that they have a front that they put there to convince us. And it's always about safety. And human quality of life.
When I listen to such things, and I think to myself, does this technological advancement have a limit? I'm not talking about the people creating it, because obviously they don't.
Mm.
But is there like a spiritual cap to how far they can go?
I think the thing that they will still fail to recreate is the soul, unless the cloned person becomes possessed by a demon. Demons that's doing its thing. I really think that's the only thing, and that's that God particle.
I think they will try, because at the back of all of this is the devil. I think he will try as much as he can with the last second he has to try and do something. So I think it's just going to keep going on until Christ comes back. That's what I think. I don't think he's going to get to a point where he feels, okay, I think I have enough ammo. Now let me wait for the return of Christ.
You know, with the first clip that we played at the beginning of the show, I don't believe a computer has a soul. I think it has come close to something like that, but a soul is a whole different thing altogether. But that shows you how far AI is getting, how far it's getting. Recently, I don't know if you guys know, in China, they've come up with a different way of monitoring. They can read they can control your mind. Not read it, control it. So they have what they call social points, a social system. And now they've integrated it into phones and so on and so forth. So if I have an ideology, all right, and I put it on your phone and I ask you to read it, the computer will scan your perception of what you're reading. And it will be easy for the person monitoring you to know whether you're for the government or not. And then they deal with you. Now we're entering deep waters because it's functioning right now.
Yeah, that's true. I've seen what they call preventive arrests.
Mm.
They come, find you home, arrest you.
And before you've done it.
We've seen you're going to commit a crime. Yeah. Come, we go for your own sake. You know, I mean, that's where it is now.
Yeah. Oh, my God. My God. Surely the human being has so much potential to create anything on the face of this earth that, like the Bible says, had those days not been reduced, no one should what?
Yes.
No one would exist. These things just leave it unfounded.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. On the subject of cloning, I don't know if you saw it recently. So Kevin Hart was involved in an accident. And the car, there's no way someone would have walked out alive. But so he's being interviewed on the show. And they ask him, tell us what happened? And he just says, yeah, that was my clone, you know. I have to tell you guys, that was my clone. Yeah, I have to say it, you know. Yeah, and they laugh about it. But you actually, if you know what's going on behind the scenes, you know that clones are not, they used to be something futuristic in films, but they actually exist. Because all they need is, like you were explaining, to have your cells and be able to reproduce parts of you. And previously it used to be in movies where there's this rich guy who has a heart issue, and then he pays money and they make a part of him. It's just a body, it's dead, but all they needed is the heart. And you know, recently there's somebody who got a heart transplant from a pig, you know. He died a couple of days later. But so that's, you see, days of Noah, where we are being merged with animals, we're being merged with technology, and even the things like the metaverse, presently it's non-intrusive. I have to wear goggles, you know, and then enter. But the goal is to actually have it intrusive. That's why I was talking about the mark of the beast, where because it is in you, you are trapped. And you know, there's a scripture, Isaiah 42 verse 22. It says, "But this is a people robbed and spoiled; they are all of them snared in holes." And they are hid in prison houses, they are for prey, and none delivers. You see, none delivers. That is how it is going to be when people are in the metaverse, but ultimately will be forced to get the mark of the beast, because currently in the metaverse, you're able to have a job. You can actually earn money in the metaverse. You can buy property, you know. You will take the mark of the beast. You know, so if a believer is watching this, stay clear of what, unless a believer whom the Lord has showed us, you know, because in its present form, it's currently non-intrusive, but the truth is they want to have it intrusive. So that I saw a guy who invented specs, you know, and you're walking on the street and you're communicating with your specs. You just ask them, where is Silver Springs Hotel? And it's showing you there is. Actually, you've watched the movie Free Guy?
Yeah.
That's exactly how the goggles are. And I was seeing this, I said, is this a movie? And I was shocked because Free Guy is a movie of last year.
Mm. Yep.
And this guy invented this thing, I think, as far as back as 2013. And it's been around. I was in shock, you know? So it's all about, first of all, capture the soul of the man, you know? Keep him from doing what God has given him to do. Because if you think you're going to do what God has called you, you're going to preach the gospel in the metaverse, you're going to go out and take over, you know, do the media, go play football in the metaverse. God has not called you to play it in an alternate universe. He wants you to play it here, to do it here. So if you go ahead and participate in that type of world, alternate world, you are missing what God has prepared for you to do here. And now there will be no reward for that. There'd actually be punishment, because you are not doing, or you're not occupying you've gone astray.
You know, as we wind up, you know, I noticed the what we call techno optimists. Mm. They believe that the purpose of technology ultimately is to create a sort of myopia, where the world will be better. And actually, Elon Musk falls in that category. He has this mindset of like future tech, we can make the world a better place, and that. Then there are techno pessimists. They believe that AIs will destroy the world, you know? But the biblical perspective of it is neither of those, because it says there will be a new city, a new Jerusalem, and what, and so on and so forth. And I believe, because this is a fallen world, the technology that we have, no matter how advanced, is still fallen.
True. True.
And technology in its sense, in its true sense, is not bad or good. It's just about who uses it.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. That's the mindset.
Yes, very true.
So there's a light function to much of this stuff that is going to be. And I believe that when the new heaven and new earth have been instituted, and the new Jerusalem has been set up as the capital, that there will be technology.
Yes.
And it will be used for the right reasons.
Yes.
The devil has really corrupted a number of things. So we're going to go around, say our last words, and any additions you might have before we close.
Let's give me something.
Okay, we'll give her. Yes.
Okay. So here's the thing. The scripture says in John, I believe chapter 14, it says that my food is to do the will of the Father and to finish his work. So it's not just enough that you know what the will of God for you is to do, but you have to also finish the work. That's why Paul says, run the race and finish. So here's the thing. You know, we've been talking about the metaverse and you know, and all this stuff. You have to understand that because we're in the last days, and you can clearly see from the trinity of the devil, as students of the end time know, you know, the political, which is the UN, it is fully on board with the metaverse. It even has a sustainable, you know, development goal things about the metaverse. It is fully, or the UN is fully on board. Political, tick. And when we tick political, we've also ticked the Antichrist.
Mm.
Yeah. Two, the economic. All the tech giants, everyone with money in their pockets is investing in this thing. Three, the religious. Shockingly, the Vatican, recently is also part of the metaverse now.
They're forerunners.
You know, they are there, and they, you know, they have these paintings. They began with cowardly put, you know, an art gallery so that people can go in the metaverse and see it and what. Then Catholics rose up and said, what is this? How come you're taking us to? Then they pulled down the interview of the Pope actually advocating to join. But they are fully on board. So everything, every structure of the devil, his trinity, is fully on board with this thing. So you have to be careful as a believer. We're in the last days, and you need to actually find out what it is God has given you to do. It's not going to be done in the metaverse. Find out what it is, go do it, and finish it, because Jesus is coming soon.
But you know, I would like to know what role Africa has to play. Because, you know, we are in Africa, and we seem to be behind technology. We always get technology after the rest of the world has captured it. And we have most of the techno gods are outside Africa. And I believe it's a huge positive as well as a negative. The huge positive is that the spirituality that has remained within Africa has ensured that it will play a vital role in as a forerunner in the coming of Christ. That's one. But number two, it also says something about the fact that even if Africa is spiritual, my mind is that if it's still spiritual, more technology should be coming from it than from Earth, because the spirituality is the source of the technology. So people are just shouting kumbaya, but they're not actually engaging that element that other people, those techno gods, are engaging in order to capture many of these things. So the role that Africa is going to play, for me, is I'm very curious about it. Mm. Africa has a number of billionaires, the biggest of which is Dangote. Yes. And you correct me, but I don't know any of these guys who are directly involved with innovation or technology.
Yeah.
Do you know any?
Nope.
I think, actually, I had that question. Why do you think Christians are scared?
Because the devil has told them that it's demonic. And, you know, it is, you know, against God. But the thing is, of course, we know the devil makes nothing but corrupts what is actually of God. So that's why Christians are scared of even spirituality itself, basic Christianity. Prophecy, for instance. Mm. Somebody says, I don't want. How do you know? How do you get it? But it's a technology, because I'm able to communicate with your spirit.
And yet Google is always prophetic.
Exactly. Yeah. It's able to tell me what I want to search for before I even find it. You know? So, and yet, previously I've just been talking about it. I think let me go and watch this thing. The moment I put in the URL, it's suggesting. You know?
Well, that thing is freaky. Yeah,
it really freaks me out all the time.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I think for me it's, and I'm glad that you raised that question, because for me I'm coming from a place of the field of business and the role that, let's say, businessmen have to play in this end time. And it's unfortunate that, like you're saying, at the end of the day, Africa is so rich with spirituality, but that spirituality has not been translated into having influence in the world that we're living in.
Yes.
So at the end of the day, we have all this spirituality and all we are using it for, and this is where the businessmen need to wake up and realize. And I love this because you shared it at one of your fellowships, that at the end of the day, it's not just being up here on the podium or being up here on the pulpit, okay, that you can take your place as, let's say, a man of God. You can be a businessman, but you're a man of God. Yes. You understand? Now, what you need to do is harness your spiritual abilities as a businessman and use that to influence your world. Mm. And in answering that, it would then be, okay, so these guys are doing that. What do we do as the church? You understand? Our concern is not countering what they're doing. Ours is, we have this flock. How do we avoid this flock from going there? You understand? So then, but for us to have that knowledge and for us to have the wisdom to crack something like that, we can only get that in the spirit. And this is now where spiritual crafting comes in. So, as the pastor, as the teacher, as the man of God is up on the pulpit, using his spiritual abilities, okay, and the spiritual crafting to heal disease and to do all of this, each one of us has to own up to our own callings and ask ourselves the question, how can I use my spiritual faculties to advance where God has called me? And I think if we open our minds to that and stop just limiting spirituality to just the church and coming and we heal and we tell
casting
you this, yeah, and then we tell you this is what's going to happen and then leave it at that.
You know, we're concluding. You know, there's such a thing as a spirit of innovation. It's an actual spirit.
Yes. There's a little word.
There's an actual spirit of innovation. Yes. And I just feel like, on a lower level, actually, I thank God when I read in the newspapers and, you know, we have, what is it, Kira Motors, and, you know, there's an attempt to be innovative, but its influence is not as big as it can, but at least it's something. But when I see, I'm always keen to find out, are these people, is the church backing these people, you know? It hurts.
No, they're fighting for congregants, they are chasing devils, yet, you know, real action is taking place.
Because they think that's all ministry is. And that's the thing that we are trying to
fulfill,
explain here, that at the end of the day, ministry is not just the man of God on the pulpit. You understand? Ministry is you who is in fashion, doing what you're doing with clothes and with designs and whatsoever, and how does it factor into the kingdom
of God?
Go
you into the world.
You understand?
The other role we have is actually a redemptive role, because we know that, for instance, before all creation, first of all, is growing for our manifestation. But, for instance, when the Holy Ghost comes and fills the centurion, he does not stop being a centurion. But now he's a changed centurion. He's able to actually, because he himself has been redeemed, he's able to go and now redeem, do things differently, you know, as a believer. But
still as a centurion.
Exactly, as a centurion, as a media person, as a journalist, as a doctor, as an engineer. They are are actually examples in scripture where people actually stood up. They are believers, but they are not, they don't necessarily have a pulpit, but they are servants of God doing something, you know.
Okay. Agi, we've said a lot. We want you to give your last word. Eh?
No, I think that as Christians, that fear that we have to press in, because I think that we are now coming to an age where Christians are really realizing not all of us can be on the pulpit, and not all of us should be on the pulpit.
Mm-hmm.
This is where my strengths are. This is what my calling is. But you're still afraid to press in and go deeper into the Lord, because all these things that these people are trying to do are in God. If we decide to take up the healing, we won't need the therapeutic clone.
Exactly. Yeah? Yes. You don't
if
need none of
we if we decide to really take up, and by the way, it's not about you. Like, you're not, it's not about you. It's about dominating for the kingdom of God. This is not about you. You press in so that you can do the things that God wants to do on this earth through you.
Mm.
And it needs to, that fear of, what if a demon, if the demon, you're more powerful than the demon, you have Christ in you. Just banish the guy and move on. Eh? That's my final word.
Okay. I want to end with a scripture. Mm. You know, we've been talking about metaverse and a number of things. We've just highlighted because of time. But Jesus said something that I found interesting in John chapter 10. He said, I tell you the truth. The person who does not enter the sheepfold, there's a sheepfold.
Mm.
And this sheepfold is not on earth. Mm-hmm. It's in the realm of the spirit. It's an actual place.
Mm-hmm. Eh? Mm.
He says, by the door. Mm-hmm. Eh? But climbs in some other way. A thief. Now, in the same chapter, he talks about a wolf that comes inside the sheepfold to scatter. The wolf is the devil.
Mm-hmm.
The thief is different.
Yes.
You understand? Mm-hmm. The thief is jumping over and trying to enter that was meant for the sheep, the fold. Eh? And he calls him a thief. And I believe that's what they're trying to do with this metaverse.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. So, as we come to the conclusion, I want to say this, that Jesus is the only way, the truth,
and the life.
And the life. Yeah. We are called as Christians to be very knowledgeable, and that's why we're discussing many of these facets. The church has its role to play. There's a spirit of innovation that the Lord has put on us. Other people are dominating because they were made by the living God. But it's also the time for the church to rise up, to come up with our own technology, to also counter some of these things that they're doing. We want to end with a clip to show you how far technology has gone. And then we'll see you next time. Let's play that clip.
You broke my heart because I couldn't dance. You didn't even want me around. And now I'm back to let you know I can really shake them down.